As the U.S. dollar appeared to show newfound strength, the crypto markets responded by, well, going down. The plunge into the 10,000s range has some people concerned that we could go lower. But for those who aren't new to this rodeo, it's just more of the same old thing. And in spite of the pullback, we've nothing but optimism coming from those who most intimately are acquainted with the crypto markets. Past halving gains show that Bitcoin could hit $41,000 this year. Max Keiser concurs and says that Warren Buffett exiting the US dollar is just another sign that all-time highs are close. And the Winklevoss bros say Bitcoin could reach $500,000 as the only long-term inflation hedge. The markets may be down, but we're not, and optimism is high for this Bad News episode number 441 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0,
ignition. Who's bad?
Cinq, quatre, trois, deux, un. A little Frenchy French for you there. Don't you know? And bonjour, my friends. Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. We are so glad that you are here today.
And I'm here too. I was not here before, but today I'm here. Welcome back to me.
Travis Wright, back from Albania.
Travis Hayden.
Yeah, you a little jet lagged, but you know, you're looking pretty chipper, getting some rest and back on
ship. Yeah, you know what? It's like I'm going to bed at the normal time when I should go to bed, but then like you don't sleep the whole night. And so then it's like, then when it's nighttime over there, it's like you start feeling a little tired. So I just took a little nap and now I'm awakened from my nap. Got some food in my belly and that's always a good thing.
Ready to talk about the news and also ready to say a bunch of you just got Bitcoin from us. You're like, wait, what? Was I supposed to get Bitcoin? Well, you were if you're a U.S. citizen and you opened up a brand new eToro account and funded your account with $50 in crypto and sent us the requisite emails. It's all really easy to do. I send out Bitcoin every week. All you got to do is go to badco.in/eToro. Follow the super simple instructions to get set up. And we are more than happy. That's like happy plus one to send you $50 in Bitcoin. It's that easy.
I saw so many coming through this week. It was a ton.
There was a ton, lots of you. So if you haven't done it yet, it's really easy to do. Badco.in/eToro, check it out. And now let's go to the news and see what's happening. Time stampifying this episode for September the 3rd, 2020. It is 2:20 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The crypto market's looking a little sadder here on CoinGecko than they were yesterday. $360 billion, almost. Bitcoin down to 10,717, taking two sharp declines. It's like if you look at it, it went and then pulled back up a little bit, then went even down more. Ethereum, $403. Tether, $1. XRP, 26 cents. Polkadot, $6.10. And as we'll talk about here in a little bit, Polkadot might be here in the top 10 to stay for some time. Chainlink, $13.48. Bitcoin Cash, $244. Litecoin, $53.64. Tron, 4 cents. Wow, Tron took a 100% this last week. It's the only one I see here that didn't get clobbered in this pullback. Binance Coin, 22.37, rounding out the top 10. And I'm not sad, Mr. Travis Wright, to see Bitcoin SV drop into the number 13 slot.
So I'm looking here at the what happened in the past 7 days in the top 100. And this is a new company that just popped up in here. Again, the DeFi space has been going crazy. There's a coin called YFII, DeFi.money, up 500%. The token price is literally almost $6,000 for one of these tokens. It was up 499.9% in the last 7 days. Uma, which we love, Uma Thurman, that coin up 166%. In the last 7 days, Yearn.finance, which is YFI, 107%. As you mentioned, Tron up 97%. NIM, which we've not heard of in a while, they're up 56%. Serum up 56%. Ample Fourth, never heard of that. That was up 50%. Kusama, KSM, up 45%. Compound, up, that's Comp, C-O-M-P, that was up 18%. Interesting to see some of these tokens going pop when a lot of this, when some other ones were going down.
At some point, we've really got to get caught up on a lot of these tokens that are in the top 100, Travis, because I feel like there's so many that are newer here that we just don't know anything about. And it's, you know, it's hard to keep up with everything. There's a, you know, a lot of losers for the last 7 days. I would say a good 50% or more of the cryptos are down 10 to 40% or so. But overall, you know, I think we're probably looking at a healthy pullback from the run that we've had.
I think maybe we do a video of it. We add all these tokens that we've not heard of to a wheel of names, and we spin them around and do talking tokens.
And just pick one and go.
And just go through, then pop up the website and talk about it, learn about it, and discuss it. And we could have some audience on there as well if they knew some stuff about it. And
maybe a guest too. Maybe we bring in somebody else to talk tokens with us.
Yeah, talking tokens with Travis and Joe's.
And random friend.
And some random friend. Sounds good.
Well, you know, in spite of Bitcoin being down right now, there is really a lot of positive and optimistic news. The Winklevi, for one, you know, who were smart enough to get into Bitcoin super early. They believe that because the U.S. financial system is very weak, and it is, that Bitcoin could one day reach $500,000 per coin. I mean, here we are at 10,700. We're having a hard time pushing through 12, and they see that because there's fundamental problems with a lot of traditional stores of value, meaning the U.S. dollar, oil, and gold, that that there's a good chance that Bitcoin and crypto become the de facto inflation hedge.
Yeah. And well, especially with DeFi taking off and more people becoming their own bank, you know, it's big. And I heard that only 400,000 addresses have taken advantage of DeFi. Think of that. Think of how early we are in the DeFi space where I think we're closing in on about $10 billion that have been locked up in DeFi contracts, and only 400,000 people have done DeFi things. And so think of how many people there are in the world, how many people are in crypto, how many crypto wallets there are. We're still early, super early in this DeFi thing. And I think that DeFi movement is going to be one of the things that really sort of pop that. And Bitcoin, you know, a lot of people are going to hold Bitcoin as a hedge, and we've been talking about it. A lot of people have said Bitcoin's going to hit 500,000 someday. The dollar's going to crash. That's going to be why Bitcoin is so high. Because, I mean, I just came back from Albania, and one U.S. dollar is worth 102 of their dollars. So it's pretty inexpensive to go there. You know, the value there is pretty good, especially in the non-touristy towns. Like, got a couple cups of coffee, a couple bags of chips, and a snack for like $5. It's crazy.
Wow. And
think about what's going to happen here in America when you're seeing like, oh, I got a $20,000 bill. Oh, here's a $50,000 bill, just because they keep printing so much through quantitative easing and printer going brrr, that eventually, you know, it's going to catch up to it. It always does. Throughout civilization, central banks and the inflation always end up crashing. Check out the Weimar, you know, what happened in Germany. That crashed, you know, the pound crashed in the 30s and 40s, and the yen crashed, and, you know, Brazil, the currency crashed, Russia crashed, it's crashed everywhere except America. Do you think we're not magically not going to crash eventually? Of course we are. We're immune
because America.
America.
Yeah, I don't think that's, I think you're accurate about that. And so the smart money appears to be going towards cryptocurrency, and more about that in a moment. But Travis, somebody has pointed out a link in the Bitcoin subreddit that came up here the other day. Somebody posted that when Satoshi Nakamoto released the original Bitcoin white paper, every response that people posted was why it wouldn't or couldn't work. And then Hal Finney jumped in, and he said, quote, "Bitcoin seems to be a very promising idea. I like the idea of basing security on the assumptions that the CPU power of honest participants outweighs that of the attacker. It is a very modern notion that exploits the power of the long tail. When Wikipedia started, I never thought it would work, but it has proven to be a great success for some of the same reasons. That's really visionary. And what's really fun, Trav, is if you scroll down the post, the first link in there are an archive of the very first posts that Satoshi made in the subreddit. It's an archive of the subreddit from November 2008. And you can see the fourth post down, Bitcoin P2P e-cash paper, and all of Satoshi's initial engagements with James Donald, John Levine. I don't know who these guys are, but there is the response from Hal Finney as well. So if you want to set the Wayback Machine to when this was first presented, we have the historical archive here for all the initial conversations.
Mm-hmm. No, that's it's really interesting. And it's on a website. MetsDAO is the website, but it basically has all the cryptography archives from November 2008. So you can literally go in and read each and every message and see the beginnings of the history of Bitcoin. That's pretty fascinating. That's awesome.
This is funny. So as soon as Satoshi posted, "I've been working on a new electronic cash system that's fully peer-to-peer with no trusted third party. The paper is available at," and he links to the white paper at bitcoin.org. And James Donald from echeque.com wrote, "We very, very much need such a system, but the way I understand your proposal, it does not seem to scale to the required size." That's pretty wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh, I wish I could take that back now."
James was like, "You know what? I'm not going to mine any of this Bitcoin crap. Go EOBOD." And no, I don't know if they said that or not. He may have ended up becoming part of it and bought in eventually. But imagine being there November 2nd, 2008. That's like literally 2 days after he released the white paper on Halloween.
Posts that did not age well. Really interesting to see him go back and forth with Satoshi, this guy in particular. And great piece of history there. So like, forget reading a book about Bitcoin. Just go, if you're interested in history, just go read the initial posts. Mm-hmm. And it's like you'll be part of that history. I would love to see that turned into a screenplay. I think that would make a great, you know, made for TV or a Netflix movie or something like that, where you bring all these initial players in, they re-dramatize the what led up to, you know, with eCash and then the development of the white paper, and actually put a face on Satoshi. Like, it's going to be fiction to some degree, uh-huh. Right? And since we don't know who he, she, they are, but I would love to see a film based on this.
Maybe there's a cartoon from Blockchain Heroes, and here's some basics of some script of it and the lore. That could be fun.
Travis, let's jump over to our friends at Cointelegraph.com, the most widely read crypto publication in the world.
Universe.
William Suberg has an article here. It says, "Bitcoin mirrors gains of past halvings, suggesting a $41,000 price in 2020. That leaves us just, you know, a few months left to see a massive bull run take place. But according to charts from 2012 and 2016, there are those that believe that we could hit that order of magnitude once again."
Well, it says here, you know, and this was a couple of days ago when this came out. Actually, I believe it was yesterday. And since that, you know, it was sitting at about, it hit 12,000 a couple days ago, three days ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's at what, 10.5? So it bounced off the 11,000 support and then broke through that floor. And so I don't know where the next support is, but it did pop through 12, but it did not stay there. And for it to hit 41,000, that's like almost what? That's a little under 4X from where we are. Well, I guess for 41,000, it's about 4X from where we are right now. Now, we did see some pretty big gains pretty quickly in 2017. Pop, 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 pop. And then there we are. We're at 20 and then pop, 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 pop. Next thing you know, we're down under 10. So
there's a company called Ecoin Metrics that is tracking this. And if you'll go to the link in our show notes for this article, badco.in/441, you'll see there's a really interesting chart on the page where they show where we are now, and with an overlay based on previous halvings, where they believe we're going. And this chart says that by December 31st, 2020, 41,000 is what it would chart at. And by next April, 100,000. And by next May, a new all-time high of 387,000 based on growth after previous halvings. I find that a little hard to swallow.
Well, I would say this, the past does not equal the future. Although it does rhyme sometimes, it's not a blueprint for exactly what's going to happen. You can already see from the third halving, here we are, the deviation of it. The price, whenever they did that, was at 11,700. Now it's at 10,000 something. It's already popped down, and it's not mimicking any of the other halvings at all, at all. None of what it shows from the previous two halvings is indicated by what's happening on the third one. So I think there's no correlation to this. There may be hoping, but the past does not equal the future. You got to pay attention to it. Crypto goes up, crypto goes down. But looking at this right here, I don't see any correlation in that chart from where what happened in the first two and where it is right now.
Are you looking at the same thing I am? I don't think you're looking at the same thing I am.
So Bitcoin after the third halving, the image on that document.
Well, scroll up. There's a chart right above it that overlays the previous two halvings, and it shows where we are right now. That we're that red line right
there. They're showing that's where the one that's what the where that red line that's just kind of drooping down there. That's actually maintaining sort of a flat line in growth compared to the other two. It just doesn't look. If you look at the one down below, it's still within that range of where they were, but it's not. There's not upward. They didn't just take off like they've done before. Maybe it will, but I'm just saying. You know,
I don't think you're not looking at the same chart as I am, Mr. Travis. Right.
I'm looking at the one that's in beige.
Right. Go above that one.
I see that one. Yeah, that's
okay. That's the one that shows you where we are now, and it's above the
above that blue one. But look at the one down the one down below, where it really shows it more clearly. It's not moved anything over. It's basically flatlined around 10,000 so far in over 4 months. So we'll see. I mean, I'm looking at the same chart you are, but I don't see it. It might happen.
Well, one chart looks more optimistic than the other, and damn it, I want it to happen. Go up.
I want it to happen too, but it doesn't mean it's going to.
What scares me is what has to happen in order for that to go up. Right. In this case, it's not just the halving that's involved here. It is the world economy, which, you know, was definitely taken into consideration some in 2012 and 2016. But things are a lot more dire right now where the dollar is concerned and with the trillions being put into the economy. I think if something's going to make it shoot up the way this chart is predicting, it's going to be because the fall of the dollar, as we've been talking about.
Well, I've always sort of thought like November 3rd and whenever they finally call the election for whenever, and they keep finding truckloads of votes somehow. And then eventually sometime in late December or whenever, when they finally call the election, I mean, neither side most likely is going to concede, and it's going to get crazy. And then that's going to teeter some economic action negatively, which could propel Bitcoin up substantially leading into. That's where, I mean, if it's 41,000 by the end of the year, it's because there is civil war going on in America, most likely. That would be my opinion.
Wow.
We're so close on already. There's already people getting shot on both sides now. It's just a matter of who's flaming the dissension at this point.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, as we all do. But there's others that are saying, Travis, that we're going to see new highs. Max Kaiser has been watching what Warren Buffett is doing. And he says that Warren Buffett is moving away from the US dollar. He's buying gold and he's moving into Japanese assets. He's putting his money there instead of the US dollar. And I think it's just a matter of time before Warren, you know, if he's still with us when this happens, because he's not getting any younger, moves into Bitcoin. He's going to have to capitulate if it does indeed become a true safe haven.
I would like to hear his methodology of why he's going in to Japanese assets. Because it's interesting to me is that from what I understand about the Japanese economy, it's heavily subsidized by the Japanese government. They own majority of the debt. And the yen is not very valuable. Maybe they think it's going to increase in value. Are they creating more output, more manufacturing? Do they have key economic growth indicators moving forward? I don't know. It's interesting to see that why he would do that. But Buffett normally has more information than we do. And so he's moved over $6 billion into Japanese assets. So I would keep an eye on that to see. Maybe the yen will start moving forward, upward, and beyond, potentially.
Pomp has said, he publicly put out there that Buffett will eventually buy Bitcoin after gold. And Max Keiser says that just moving into gold alone would spark a run among investors pushing Bitcoin to 50,000 or so. So, you know, there's at least from the usual suspects, right? The cheerleaders in the space, the true believers, there's a lot of optimism. And obviously, they nor we are fazed by seeing Bitcoin plunge $1,000 over a few days. That's just, we've been around long enough that this ain't no thing. What I want to know is right now, I'm looking at Tron is up another 31% today to a nickel. What is going on with Tron that it's shooting up right now? Well, I think I found it, Travis. I think I went to the Tron Telegram and asked if somebody can give me up-to-the-minute news, and they're saying it's SunCoin. And so if you'll go to sun.market, guess what? Sun is a social experiment which focuses on the DeFi potential of Tron. That's all you need to know. It's DeFi, and apparently Genesis mining for Sun started yesterday. And people are locking up their TRX to participate in the Genesis mining of this this DeFi protocol.
Look at this. 5.6 billion TRX tokens have been locked up.
Mm-hmm. They're
How much? I mean, seriously, how much Tron is there? That's a lot of Tron.
That's a lot of Tron. But I think that's what it is. It's a DeFi play. We don't know more than that, but it's certainly a big run. And seeing this happen makes me wonder what's going to happen with all these people locking up their TRX. Guess what? They can't use it on the market, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically off the market right now. So I'm really curious what this is going to do.
It should be interesting. Let's see next week, see if it's gone up even higher or if it flopped back down.
Yeah. So, Travis, did you follow the whole Tesla thing this week where the stock shot up ridiculously again, and then they announced that they're doing another stock sale? I guess there was a split, and it's off the chain.
I did not hear anything about that. I was kind of off the chain this past week.
Well, in the markets, in the corporate world, it's a big deal, but apparently – they're also making news here in the crypto space. Musk said that the company recently foiled attempts to infect its computer network with malicious software after an employee cooperated with the FBI and an investigation. They were trying to extort money from Tesla. According to the court records, an investigation into an alleged conspiracy started after an unnamed Tesla employee informed the company of an approach by some Russian dude named Krushkov. The accused reportedly asked the employee to participate in a special project, and in exchange, the employee would get $1 million worth of bitcoins as a payment.
It looks like he said he turned down, or turned down the $1 million, worked with the FBI, and then helped thwart a planned cybersecurity attack on Giga Nevada, which is that one really big place that I believe Tesla builds their batteries and whatnot out of. Yeah. Yeah, good thing. And hopefully the employee got a pat on the back and maybe an Amazon gift certificate. That's what companies normally do. I actually did a project with Semantic back in the day and help them make like $1.6 billion, and I didn't even get an Amazon gift card to thank you. I kind of got a thank you, but then other people around the company got let go. I'm like, dude, we just made $1.6 billion. Do I not get even anything for this? So sometimes corporations don't reward people the way they could have.
Maybe you'll get an NFT of a gold watch.
Maybe so.
Would that be okay?
I don't know.
So here's this other one, Travis, we referenced last week because they popped up out of nowhere. Polkadot, The Polkadot price has increased by 200% in less than 8 days. And this was dated August 27th. Since then, it's kind of held pretty steady around, I think it's around $6 or so. And some crypto firms are saying that this is going to become a big three blockchain.
You think?
That's what they're saying. I mean, it's on Binance now. And, you know, it started on Binance at about $2 and, you know, it shot up to $6.50. Their market cap is $5.6 billion. And I don't know what building on Polkadot, you know, is all about. I'm not sure what you can build on it, but this is what they're saying.
Yeah, well, Gavin Wood created Polkadot in 2016. Says here he was a key figurehead behind the development of Ethereum's Solidity programming language and Parity technologies, and also played a key role in the growth of the Ethereum network over the past 4 years. So he's been working on building this up, and then looks like it was ready for prime time, and then pow, like right into the top 10. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's not the last time we're going to see that. Yeah. And honestly, you know, we report on the news as we see it, but we're so heads down on NFTs and building in that space that I'm not, you know, honed in on the new projects that are coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're missing this stuff. And DeFi,
we almost need some correspondents, some crypto correspondents that are out there doing some research on some certain things. Maybe that's what we should do, is have a segment with someone from Coin Genius coming in and seeing from what they talk about on their weekly sort of genius calls, what are some of the things that we should be paying attention to, and that could give some folks some rabbit holes to go down, and then can come back and report what they find.
What are we missing, gang? Tell us. Send us your tips, your hot tips. But don't tell us about your crappy coins. We don't want to know about those. We want to know about
hot takes,
actual projects. Around the world, Mr. Travis Wright, if we go to South Korea, the biggest exchange there is BitThumb. And this article on CoinDesk says that apparently the South Korean authorities raided BitThumb. What, you knock on the door? Hello, we're here to shut you down.
Yeah, so what, they just went in, the South Korean authorities just went in and just kicked the door down on BitThumb and said, give us all your cryptos? Well, yeah. Apparently they were linked to a 25 million token sale hosted by BitThumb and proposed acquisition by Singapore platform BTHMB never materialized. And so the police were thinking there was some shenanigans going on, and they raided their headquarters.
Yeah, this is all secondhand information. It came from a Seoul newspaper, but the chairman, Lee Jong-hoon, has been accused of fraud and illicitly sending funds overseas. And there's not been confirmation. The exchange is still active as of yesterday. I haven't looked today to see what's going on, but cracking down on crypto scamologies.
Yeah, and the Bitcoin headquarters is located in the Gangnam district.
Gangnam style. How many billions of views has that video had?
A lot.
Billions. And let's jump from South Korea to India. In India, there is an exchange called CoinDCX, and they are seeking to edumacate the peoples. They have two new professional training courses for crypto traders and experts. You know, people are concerned about legislation passing in India that would be against crypto, but these firms are rolling out training nonetheless.
Yeah. You know? The Blockchain Council's executive director said that basically the curriculum aims to be industry oriented and career focused. So they want to keep everything on the up and up, teach people how it all works, educate them, and not just, you know, release everyone out into the wild, wild west. Because India recently just opened up to legal cryptos, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are probably curious about what's going on, and there's not a lot of, you know, standardized education around this. And so they're trying to help folks become more informed and become better educated consumers in the crypto space.
India accounts for nearly a fifth of the world's population, more than 1.3 billion people right now. And a lot of super smart people, also some big issues with poverty there in India. And what better way to bank the unbanked than with cryptocurrency? In fact, what if we can get MobiPay there, the universal payment ecosystem that lets consumers make secure fiat and digital currency payments worldwide from their mobile phone in seconds? I've got to believe that a lot of these 1.3 billion people in India have phones. You know, so what if you can connect your fiat and digital currencies to a marketplace and get cash back and be able to send crypto at the speed of, well, crypto, because crypto's super fast. It doesn't need to be as fast as light because it's already super fast.
I got to tell you, Mr. Joe Com, that was an A-plus segue right there.
Thank you. Check it out, MobiPay.io. Our friends at MobiPay, we are advisors with them, and they've sponsored our show for some time and would love to see their initiatives go global. And I'm expecting some big news from them soon as we await the rollout of the MobiPay wallet.
Some stuff, big stuff going on. You know, another one of the key things in crypto, we've talked about, you know, with the finance and banking, and, you know, we're talking about DeFi. And we are the DeFi DoFi, and we're talking about NFTs and digital collectibles. But one of the key, you know, attributes and benefits of blockchain is supply chain. And so there's a logistics system provider that is going to connect all of the Dutch seaports to blockchain. And so they are moving into the blockchain space to keep things more, you know, set up better. And there's a logistics company called Portbase, P-O-R-T-B-A-S-E. And they've completed their first phase of integration with the blockchain-based platform TradeLens. And they will handle operations and core processes for ports in Amsterdam and Rotterdam so they can export all their tulips.
Well, you got to do something with those tulips.
I know.
Hang on a second. Let's do a quick edit here. We have 7 minutes to this call. I don't think we're going to be able to. Well, we could potentially finish the show. Should we try?
Let's try.
All right, we're going to try. Let's see where we're at. We're at 39 minutes, so we're good. All right, we're going to try and do these quickly. Back to Cointelegraph.com. Roger Ver in the news again. He's veering left. He's veering right. He is a prophet of sorts, speaking on the future of Bitcoin. And he says to Bitcoin ABC, stick a fork in it. You're done, saying that they are forking away from Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin ABC, and Dead Elnix, that's a Twitter, have announced that they're forking away from Bitcoin Cash on November 15th. We wish them good luck with their new coin and thank them for the free airdrop to all BCH holders. So Bitcoin Cash is going through some forking stuff.
Interesting. Also, someone going through some forking stuff, Brazil has been going through lots of things interesting in the last year because this is 2020, but they are discussing a use case with the Brazilian government, a digital identity solution called FinID based on blockchain, financial, and self-sovereign digital identities to become your own, maybe self-sovereign. That means you are your own entity, right? And so they're creating self-sovereign digital identities, and owners of this are responsible for the control and management of their own data, taking back control of their own data in Brazil. How about this?
It's super important. And one of the promises of blockchain is empowering the user, the customer, and making your data portable. And of course, one of the key ways that I'd love to see this implemented is in health. Why do I have to have medical records, you know, throughout the years, all these different places from different doctors, different dentists or specialists or hospitals? Why can't I have all my medical records in my wallet in one place? And when I go to see somebody, I've got it with me, I can access, and I can give them the information that I give them permission to use.
Amen, brother.
That's what I want. Amen. Preach it.
Hallelujah, Mr. Joe Com.
From healthcare to music, EDM on the blockchain is a DJ by the name PLS and TY. And Tommy Leas, that's his name. He's big in the EDM industry. And he is selling 30 limited edition vinyl records of his latest EP on an Ethereum-based art and culture platform. The record's called Very Special. It's very special. So you can get a glow-in-the-dark record.
You get some glow sticks. And but if you want to get any drugs, you got to get them on your own. They do not come.
As of the press for this article, he sold 12 of 30 special tokens. It's $special, but it looks like special. He's using a stablecoin DAI for people to purchase them. 12 of the 30 have been sold for $68.27. Look, whether I like the music or not, I don't care. I'm a big fan of anybody innovating, tokenizing their work, and putting it on blockchain.
I want to say this. This is what I thought you were going to do when you said from healthcare to Care Bears.
Oh.
That's what I thought. The Care Bears, Care-A-Lot Kingdom is coming to the Sandbox Metaverse. You remember the Care Bears? And I tell you what year is more important to have Care Bears come back than 2020? Because mostly I'm seeing just hate bears everywhere.
Care Bears, we need you now.
Yeah, Sunshine Bear, Love Bear, all those Care Cheery Bears, all them. Well, they're going to be coming to Sandbox, and that's a user-created virtual gaming world, very similar to Crypto Voxels or Decentraland or one of those. It's one of those virtual worlds. We need to chat with some folks, but they've actually partnered up over with 50 partners, Atari, CryptoKitties, now Care Bears. They're going to have theme lands within the metaverse, like sort of like its own little Disney world. There's going to be a Care Bear land inside that, and maybe it's powered by NFTs. I'm not sure.
Well, it actually says there will be Care Bears themed NFTs, which players can buy and use in their own lands.
Beautiful. So,
yeah, give me some Care
Bear. I'm Grumpy Bear.
There's no Grumpy Bear. I'm Protest Bear.
Nice.
I'm Riot Bear. You know, he's got a broken glass, you know, beer bottle in his hand.
And I'm Murder Bear.
You know. That
joke was so funny, you almost choked to death.
I know. You know, you could Garbage Pail Kids were really just a spoof of Cabbage Patch Kids, right? Mm-hmm. So you could totally spoof the Care Bears, you know, with Careless Bears, right?
Yeah.
Don't give a crap, Bears. Well, Mr. Travis Wright, pull up your damn pants, because this is not the place to be using your Bitcoin and Litecoin on Pornhub. But now you could if you wanted to.
You know, that was really exciting. And while I was perusing their fine media, I noticed that I could donate some Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, my God, what a deal. I don't – hold on a second. Let me wait. Give me a couple minutes, and then maybe I'll do it.
They tweeted this out: to further expand our crypto options for Pornhub Premium, we're excited to announce that we now accept Bitcoin and Litecoin as payment methods. I think this is interesting because the – porn market is huge. Whatever you think of it, it is a majorly massive market, people spending a lot of money. And the porn industry, again, like it or not, has pioneered many of the technologies that we now use. I mean, e-commerce was pioneered by the porn industry first, in order to facilitate people making, you know, fiat currency transactions. Video streaming was pioneered by the porn industry because they saw that they could make a lot of money there first. So we owe a lot to the porn industry. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but the technology that was created, we are now using in mainstream for many purposes that are not illicit.
That's true. I've always wondered why, like, some porn movies are like an hour long. Like, who can watch that much of a porn? You gotta like watch it in a few segments at a time.
Chicka chicka meow.
All right. There we go. Pause it right here, I guess. Come back to it later.
Well, that's all the bad news we have for you this week, gang. The blockchain heroes continue to soldier forth. Many of you are involved in our community, but if you're not, you're missing out on a lot of fun, and you're also missing out on pioneering along with us the future of digital collectibles. this is going to be a massive industry, and the success that we had from our first set and the plans that we have for the future, we want to take you guys along with us. So just because the first set is sold out doesn't mean you can't purchase cards on the secondary market, doesn't mean you can't be involved in our community and start to learn more about this. Go to t.me/BC Heroes and join the Blockchain Heroes community. Sometimes we give away free NFTs, but you got to be there and be part of it. Come to one of our weekly meetings. We do every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern. We have the Hero Report, and now we've done 11 of them so far, Trav. And you know what's mind blowing? Here's what's really mind blowing is it feels like it's been a long time since we sold out the set. It was August 8th. It's not even been a month yet, Travis.
Hasn't even been a month. Yeah, I'm looking at the marketplace right now. And since we've opened up, what, over 78% of the things right now? I find that it's interesting. The lowest price pack right now for the Hero pack is $22, and then the Titan pack's going for around nearly $80. So that's $70-something. It's pretty wild seeing that. And those top cards still haven't popped. The Electric Genesis not opened yet. The 15 of the Smokes have not opened yet. So it's been fun.
Yeah. And the fun continues. We're iterating. We're continuing to do updates that add value to the cards that are already out there. Please come and join us. t.me/BC Heroes. Just come on in and say, heard Joel and Travis talking about this on the show. All right. My curiosity has piqued. What do I need to know? And our community is fantastic. They will welcome you with open arms, as much as arms could be open in a digital world. And join us. It's a lot of fun.
And with that, I would just tell everyone out there to stay safe and to stay bad.
Who's bad?
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.